Good morning.
Good morning.
Let's sing together, shall we? Would you stand and sing with us, please?
One, two, three, four, and... God's people said, amen. Amen. Please be seated.
Welcome and greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Peace be with you. Thank you. I'm glad you're here this morning. My name is Cheryl Broom, and I'm the senior pastor here at Lotus Hills United Methodist Church. And I'm glad you found your way here today around the racers. And there were no bicycles hurt in the process. No? I'm glad you're here. We were a little worried that with the racers coming, it might be difficult to come to church, and yet here you are, a testament to you wanting to be here to praise God, and I'm so grateful that you're here. When you came in, I hope you got this little bulletin that has lots of announcements about the life of the church and what's happening here. There's one announcement that's not listed on here, but it's kind of an auspicious occasion today. So we do list auspicious occasions, right? Thank you, Susan. And the auspicious occasion is the birthday of our dear friend and fellow member in Christ, Libby Taylor. Libby's like, I don't even know why you're all making me stand up today. Is it your birthday today, Libby?
Yes, ma'am.
And may I say how old you are or not? I will not say it.
You can take 19 or 61 or 91.
So she's either 19 or 16 or 91 years old today. Oh, 61 today. Well, we're glad you're here celebrating with us on your birthday. And you know what I heard? That God danced the day you were born. Yes. Amen. Any other birthdays that we can announce? Doris Barthold, you have a birthday today? And do you want to tell us how old? You don't have to.
85.
85 today. This truly is an auspicious day. Yes, Roy?
There's one other correction. The men are meeting Thursday, but the Bible group is, or the book study is not meeting at 4:30, but we will eat at 6.
All right. So if you're a man or the pastor here, you can come and bring your meat to barbecue. We have a wonderful barbecue pit. All men are invited. There's a lot of conversation and just good fellowship time at 6 o'clock out here by the barbecue. They let me come too because I bring my food to get barbecued. What a delight. Thank you, Roy, for keeping us straight on that. And Doris, God bless you. I heard God danced the day you were born too. God did a lot of dancing that day. All right, no more announcements. Let us prepare our hearts and minds that we might meet and greet Jesus here today. Let us begin our time of worship.
Good morning. Good to see everyone, and we hope you're having a blessed day. Our first scripture reading this morning comes from the first book of John, chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. If you'd like to follow along in your pew Bible, you'll find it on 1111. I will be reading from the New International Version. Listen now for the word from a word from God. See what great love the Father has lavished upon us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. All who have this hope in Him purify themselves just as He is pure. Everyone who sins breaks the law. In fact, sin is lawlessness. But you know that He appeared so that He might take away our sins, and in Him is no sin. No one who lives in Him keeps on sinning. No one who continues to sin has ever seen Him or known Him. Dear children, do not let anyone lead you astray. The one who does what is right is righteous, just as He is righteous. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Would you please bow your heads or look to the heavens as we pray? God of miracles and truth, bless us as we gather for worship with the power of your Holy Spirit. Reveal your presence in our midst and open our hearts and minds to receive your miraculous love. Strengthen our faith this day that we may go forth as witnesses of your miraculous love. Amen.
At this time, we'd like to invite the kiddos forward for their Spark moment before we head on out to Spark worship. Y'all are quiet today. Did we not sleep last night? No?
No.
Good morning, everyone. Just come find a seat. Yay. Okay, I have a question for you. Is anyone here part of any sort of super secret club? Careful of the cords, boys. Natalie's part of a super secret club. Anybody? Do you guys have like a super secret box with a super secret string? No. What about, is anybody part of a club at school? Maybe you're in a garden club? Yes. Maybe we're part of a garden club, or we're in a chess club or music, something like that? Or what?
Oh.
What about, are any of your parents part of a club? Like, I have this really fancy Costco membership that says I'm a club member. So I belong at Costco. It's super exclusive. Oh, a hand chime club at school. That's cool. And mommy teaches it. Can I be a member? Can I get a card? We all belong to a really cool super secret club. Did you guys know that? We are all part of God's family. And when you accept Jesus into your heart and when you are baptized, you become part of that club, part of that family. And it comes with membership benefits. Did you know that? Yeah? No? Maybe? Nobody's excited for this. All right, we're done. Everybody just go back and sit down. We all become part of Abraham's family, part of God's family, when we accept Jesus into our heart. And that means that all of the promises God has ever made to his people, every promise you find in this book, is a promise to you. You receive the benefits of those promises, and you have an identity in Christ. So when we go to Spark Worship today, we are going to learn about our identity in Christ. We're going to sing, we're going to dance, and we are going to celebrate somebody that is part of our family, Miss Olivia, and her 10-year anniversary working here. So when we walk by the nursery, we're all going to say, happy anniversary, Miss Olivia. Does that sound good? All right, let's bow our heads and pray. Bow your heads, fold your hands, close your eyes, and say, dear God, thank you for your membership.
Thank you for your membership.
To your eternal family.
To your eternal family.
And we praise your name.
And we praise your name.
For identity in you.
For our identity in you.
In your name we pray.
In your name we pray.
Amen.
Amen.
We're going to calmly walk to the back and line up at the door, please.
Calmly walk to the back. Thank y'all so much. Have fun. We'll see you in a little bit. For our prayer time today, I didn't mention the prayer cards. One side says connect, so if you're new to us, want to give us any information, or if your information has changed and you need to update it, would you please fill that side? If you have a prayer request, turn it over, and then just write what your request is. Your prayers are gathered up and given to the confidential prayer team every single Sunday so that we may begin to pray for you and hold you in our heart and prayers. That's for you guys. Now let us go before God in the silence of our own hearts. This morning as we prepare for worship, as we prepare our hearts to receive Christ once more, let us pray. Almighty God, we gather to worship you and offer you praise. Today we ask you to open our hearts to the incredible truth of your love for us, a love that calls us your children. We pray to the Lord, Lord, hear our prayers. For the courage to reflect that love in our action and words, for genuine kindness and compassion towards others, we pray to the Lord. Lord, hear our prayers. For the courage to reflect that love in our actions and words, for genuine kindness and compassion towards others, especially those who are struggling to see themselves as loved by God. For revelation of your grace and your acceptance, we pray to the Lord. Lord, hear our prayers. For wisdom to discern the truth from falsehood, love from indifference in a world that often confuses those. We pray to the Lord. Lord, hear our prayers. For strength to overcome fear and doubt, to live with the confidence of your beloved children, we pray to the Lord. Lord, hear our prayers. And we thank you, gracious God, for your continued presence in our lives as a guiding light for our journey of faith. We pray to the Lord. Lord, hear our prayers. Loving God, as we gather this morning in your presence, help us to truly understand the depth of your love for us. May it transform our hearts and guide our actions so that the world may know your love through us. We pray to the Lord. Lord, hear our prayers. And we ask that you hear us now, O God, as we pray the prayer Jesus taught his disciples, as we say together, Our Father, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. This has been an exciting week The moment that we have all been breathlessly waiting for finally arrived. It was on Monday, April 8th. The skies over much of Texas was briefly darkened when the moon covered the sun nearly completely. And it was a total solar eclipse. Now, we in Texas are so blessed. We had one of the longest times of darkness. It was, for some people, up to 4 minutes and 28 seconds when the moon completely covered the sun and the sky fell dark. Now, it's not surprising that our ancestors viewed the total solar eclipse with much trepidation and fear. They often thought it was a portent from the gods, indicating the deity's displeasure, or an observation that the sun was being consumed by a fearsome creature like a dragon, and that they needed to scare it away with loud noises. In our current, mostly scientific world, enlightened times, we have a different take on things. We don't really think a dragon is going to eat up the sun, and we don't really worry that things are going to collapse like they did in the olden days. And yet this total darkness still consumes us. This supernatural phenomenon that happened is still capable of throwing us off course and leaving us scratching our heads. Such is the mystery of life and solar eclipses. Sometimes we witness phenomena that we just cannot simply explain. And such is the case that we find in Scripture this morning as we read from Luke chapter 24, verses 36 through 48. If you want to open your pew Bible and read that with me, like Patsy, I'm going to be reading from the version called the New International Version. As you find that in the pew Bible or your own Bible on your phone, let us listen for a word from God. While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. They said to them, "Why are you troubled and why do you doubt in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see I have." And when he said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they still did not believe it because of joy and amazement, he asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it, and he ate it in their presence. And he said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." And then he opened their minds so that they could understand Scripture. He told them this: "This is written, what was written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Did it happen? Yes. Were they doubtful? Yes. Been there, done that, bought the t-shirt, says doubt happens. And yet, did you ever wonder why those disciples who had spent 3 intensive years of boot camp with Jesus did not think about that this was going to happen, that they doubted his return? See, he had told them countless times what would happen, and yet they just could not wrap their minds around it. Kind of like us in this solar eclipse. Yes, it was expected. The effects were unexpected. With the loss of the sun, even for short periods of time, many of us experienced a dense and utter darkness. Profound quiet all around us. The weirdness of what happened that day was experienced by many of us in South Texas. And for those few moments the perplexity of what had just happened. Before it was daylight, and now all of a sudden, it's totally dark. Talk about topsy-turvy. Did this event confound you too? For me, it was a little eerie because it was daytime. It was light. And then before you know it, it's completely dark and all the lights are popping on outside, the automatic light system, right? And it got a little cooler and it did get a little quiet. And it was dark for a few moments for us, totally dark at 1:30 p.m. Now, sometimes things in life happen that confound us. They're unexpected. They become a shock to our system, and sometimes those things cause us to be filled with fear and doubt. Can you imagine hundreds of years ago when this would happen and what people must have thought or felt? Now, I know you didn't think a dragon was coming to eat the sun, did you?
Maybe.
And maybe, like me, you were a little bit afraid of what happened. What if the sun doesn't come back? Now, any doubt that we have is a natural thing. But we begin to question, even after something happened to us, we say, did that really happen? Do you think maybe that's where the disciples were in their system with Jesus? Because even though he had told them over and over again what would happen, they could not even imagine what he meant when he said he would be back from the dead in 3 days. And at that time, the disciples' hearts were heavy with grief. They were lost. They were unsure. They were in the dark. And then Jesus showed up in this moment of utter darkness and despair. Jesus appeared. And then he didn't condemn them for not believing, but he offered them peace and presence, turning their doubt into recognition when he addressed their fears and doubts. He showed them his wounds, the very proof of their shared journey, of his sacrifice. He invited them to touch the wounds and to see that it was really him, that he was truly resurrected. This act of physical reassurance speaks to the way that God meets us too in our doubts. God does not shame us, but offers evidence of his love and faithfulness. You see, doubt, while often is viewed as a negative emotion, can actually play an important part in our faith journey. At one point or another, we will all question God. We all have or will question God's, even God's existence. Some of us question the Bible interpretations, especially when life challenges arise. And doubt doesn't necessarily indicate a lack of faith. It can be a sign of thoughtful engagement of your faith. Doubt can prompt deeper exploration of our faith, and wrestling with these questions can lead us to a more mature and personal understanding of God in our own personal religious beliefs. Even in the Bible, it acknowledges doubt. In Psalms, we can read over and over again examples of how they were questioning God. They were growing and testing their faith. And this doubt prompts us to a deeper understanding. Doubt's a normal part of Christian life, okay? You go, phew, thank goodness. Doubt is a normal part of Christian life, and it gives us an opportunity to grow. That's what that does. And if you came to church today doubting in God, maybe you didn't know that God loved you so very much. Maybe you doubt that Jesus really did die for your sins. Maybe you even doubt that God wants what is best for your life. If you came here doubting that Christ reconciled us to God, then you're in good company. It's okay to doubt. You're not alone. Many of us have traveled this road that you are on, and we have found our way to a stronger faith. Like the disciples, just need to hang in there with prayer and study, and you will grow in your faith. Now, sometimes faith requires us to view life through a different sort of lens. You might have heard them sing this morning, "Open the eyes of my heart, Lord." Do you have eyes in your heart? Yes? No? Well, this morning we sang, "Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. We want to see you." It is our deepest prayer, and it is about gaining a deeper spiritual understanding and connection with Jesus Christ and seeing life not just through your eyes, not through the physical lens, but through your heart. I had a very dear friend. Her name was Tina, and Tina was not born blind, but she had a physical condition that eventually caused her to be completely blind. She had graduated from college, and here she was in the world, and she had absolutely no sight whatsoever. And so she did what everybody told her to do, which was go to blind school. That's what they call it, at the Austin School for the Blind. And at the blind school, she learned how to live her life as a blind person. She learned how to trust the tools and the things around her. She learned how to maneuver life without physical sight. She learned to walk using a white cane stick. You've seen those before. That reverberates so she can tell if there's an obstacle in the way. So she can really be guided by that stick. Often, when we go out to a restaurant to eat, people didn't know she was blind, and they'd flop a menu down in front of her, and they'd throw a cup of coffee in front of her. And I would say, coffee at 12 o'clock. I'd pick up the menu. What do you want? She always knew what she wanted to eat. See, you couldn't tell she was blind because she had these artificial eyes. They were always open. And so she was at my house one day with my young sons were there, and they were running around in their skivvies, as young men often do. And they said, "Mom, Tina's here. Why didn't you tell us?" I said, "Boys, Tina's completely blind. She can't see you." And they're like, "Mom, I know she can see." There was nothing I could do to convince them that Tina could not see them. They said, I know that she can see. And you know what? I agree. Because I believe that Tina could see with the eyes of her heart. She could tell who was being genuine. She could tell who was being deriding. She could see with the eyes of her heart. And you think maybe that's what Jesus meant? Because sometimes I long to see with the eyes of my heart. See, she knew and trusted Jesus, even though she couldn't see a thing. She didn't see the proof. And we long to see through our heart, that faith would come not just through our sight, but through our understanding, that Jesus would open the minds of our heart. Like he did the disciples, he opened their sight to the scriptures, revealing his death and resurrection, fulfilling God's plan. And this is a powerful reminder for us, both of reason and revelation. When we open our hearts to scripture, God opens the eyes of our heart to deeper understanding of his purpose. Now, in the Bible, the heart just doesn't mean emotions, but it's about the whole inner person, our thoughts, our desires, our will, our understanding. Through Jesus, when the eyes of our hearts are open, there's a shift in our entire being. Through Jesus, we begin to see things differently. We begin to encounter other people differently. We begin to love others differently. We begin to recognize that Jesus was not just a historical figure, but a divine presence in our lives. It's about recognizing Jesus and understanding his teaching and accepting him as our Lord and as our Savior. This transformation from simply knowing about Jesus to truly believing in him and his message comes when the eyes of our heart are opened, and we will have a deeper and more personal connection with Jesus. It's like truly seeing someone you love for the very first time and appreciating their depth and complexities. Now, for the disciples, this very day is when Jesus opened their heart. Jesus gave them even a greater gift. It's called the Great Commission. He told them that they would be making witnesses. He'd make them witnesses to the resurrection of Jesus for the whole world, that they might learn of the hope of Jesus Christ. Empowered by this newfound knowledge, Jesus entrusted them with a mission. The mission was to be witness to his forgiveness and redemption. Now, just as the disciples emerged from the upper room, transformed, ready to share the good news, we too can experience this renewal of our faith. Oh, that God would open more of our eyes, of our hearts. Oh, that God would dispel our doubts and empower us to be his witness in the world. See, like the disciples, we too have been given this gift of the Holy Spirit. That same Holy Spirit enlightens our hearts and our minds that we may remain open to the truth of Christ. Do you ever wonder, when you've been at church for a while, maybe you've been in church your whole life, and sometimes you come to church and you hear something new that you didn't expect. Sometimes it's said through the reading of Scripture. Sometimes it's through the singing of our hymns or the preaching of a sermon, and you didn't expect it. Maybe this morning's gospel message explains this message to you, the surprise with the risen Christ free and roaming around among us, revealing himself to us, where we can expect the unexpected surprise. When you doubt that the Holy Spirit, think of these times when you were unexpectedly surprised by grace. Think about the times when you were reading Scripture, listening to Scripture, or listening to a sermon. You heard something grab your attention, and it shakes you. Well, you can be sure that that is a sign of the Holy Spirit working in you. And that is what happened on that Easter morning with Jesus' disciples. And that is what happens with you and I as well. Jesus comes to us, teaching us through this gift of the Holy Spirit. Each one of us have received this gift. It's true. And yet, as wonderful as it is to be here and receive God's Spirit and to have the Word reach out and address us personally as we experience the risen Christ to our very souls, as wonderful as that is, the risen Christ will not leave things there with us passively receiving the Word. Sorry about that. He moves us from being listeners to being witnesses. He tells us that we have received from him this word, resurrection power, that must be preached out there. His truth that we receive must be told to others, must be preached all in the name of every nation, beginning with Jerusalem. He said to them, "You are the witnesses of this great commission." And that call, well, it extends to us too. It's not just for the disciples. It's for you as believers in Christ. We too are called to share the message of hope, of love that transforms lives. Like the first disciples, Jesus sends us out into the world as witnesses of his Easter good news. This Easter message must be preached. The Easter message that turns death and defeat into a sense of power. We have a message to share because we have been benefactors of the disciples' message. Had the disciples not left that room and told the message across the world, we would not be here today. And now you have received this word too, and it is a message which must be shared with the world. Because we're called to love people and give them the good news that Christ is risen. There was a reformer, you might know him, theologian, minister. His name was Martin Luther. He started that little church we call the Lutheran Church. Yeah, Martin Luther said this once. He said that preachers witness to the gospel on Sunday so that congregations can witness to the gospel, and that is to preach Monday through Saturday. You got a tougher task than I do, because I get to tell Jesus' message to folks like you who've come to church. Most of you already know Jesus. You came here because you wanted to hear more about Jesus. But you too are called into the world to preach this message to folks who may not necessarily want to hear it. They might turn away from your message of faith and hope and salvation. Yet Jesus commands you commands you to be his witnesses, to show and tell all what you have heard, what you have seen. You are all witnesses, whether you want to be or not. He's asking us, each one of us, and because there are people out in this world that are dying to hear this message of hope. There are people that need to know Jesus. And so you are being sent out into this world to bear witness. What will you do? Who will you tell? Will you bear witness to this life-giving grace found in Jesus Christ? Friends, now is the time. And you are empowered to get out there and go to work doing your job for the risen Christ. It's been assigned to you. You get to bear witness to this good news of Jesus Christ. Go out into the world to share this great news. And before I let you go do that, we're going to say a brief prayer, and then we're going to see maybe what's next for us. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we confess our moments of doubt. And we ask that you open the eyes of our hearts to see you more clearly. Grant us the understanding of your word and the courage to share your message and love. May we be your witnesses, carrying the message of hope and redemption into the whole world. Amen.
What does it take to be a witness of Jesus?
As far as I can see, it means you're willing to stand up and speak out your faith. You're willing to live a life of compassion for others in honor of Jesus.
Yeah, but what does that mean exactly?
Well, for one thing, you're not afraid to admit you're a follower of Jesus, even if people think you're crazy. It doesn't mean you have to be obnoxious about it. Just honor to follow the one who brings eternal life.
I don't think I would be able to do that. I'm not a good public speaker like the preacher or the Sunday school teacher or the folks who lead in worship here. I don't have a clue what to do or say. It's not like I don't want to be a witness. It's that I'm not good enough to do that kind of work.
That's just the point. Jesus didn't have an application you had to fill out. He just said to come, listen, learn, care, share, speak from your heart. Look at who he chose to have around him. A bunch of fishermen, tax collectors, people with questionable backgrounds, as well as some of the quote-unquote regular folk. He placed love in their hearts and courage in their souls. He'll do the same for you.
You think so?
Absolutely. That's what he promised, and he's never backed down from one of his promises.
Okay, I'll give it a try.
You can do it. Just be yourself. After all, that's who Jesus loves and depends on.
Several years ago, when it was that time of the year for us to start dedicating ourselves to whatever mission or, here within the conference or within our church and how much we were going to tithe, I remember one family here talked about there would be times that they wouldn't put in the offering what they had tithed, but because they didn't know if they'd be able to meet the bills or pay for the spare tires or whatever. But they found out they decided that was not really a good idea. You weren't serving the Lord, or you weren't serving the church when you did that. So they quit doing that, and they would, whatever they had tithed, it would go in their offering for that week or that month. Nothing bad happened. They were still able to buy the groceries, buy shoes for the kiddos or whatever. I have found out personally that works, because there have been times, many times, I didn't put in the offering. It didn't make it any easier to put gas in the car or whatever. You put in the offering, God's going to help you. If you're having a difficult, did he bring you the pot of gold or did you win the lottery? Probably not. But he helped you. And with this, would the ushers please come forward?
Thank you.
You're welcome. Stand as we sing the doxology. Please bow your heads while we say our offertory prayer. Let us pray. Generous God of love and grace, bless these gifts with your abundant love and your life-giving grace. Bless us as we bear witness to your love and grace in all that we say, all that we give, and all that we do. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. And Miss Kennedy Lombardo is going to come up in for a minute and talk to us about our invitation to discipleship.
Good morning. My name's Kennedy. My sister, Caitlin, is also a part of this, but we are in charge of the Cornwall Parade float. And so that's going to be May 4th. And what we're asking from y'all is we just need some candy donations. We're going to hand those out along with the VBS flyers to kind of tell the community who we are and that we're here and that we're welcoming to others. So it's going to be May 4th. It starts at 10. I think it starts at Leslie Road down in Helotes. And the theme's space. So it'd be really great for y'all to come out. We already have a bunch of volunteers. And we're going to decorate a float. And we're going to have a bunch of kids involved. So, but yeah, just I'll put a box out in the back area probably this week. And just candy, preferably not chocolate, just because of how hot it is. But for the most part, just like individually wrapped candy. So, but thank y'all.
Thank you, Kennedy. So Kennedy and a group of our mission and outreach individuals have agreed to do the Cornwall Parade. That is huge and such a great thing to do. You just need us to help maybe decorate the float later and get candy to throw at people. If you've ever been to the Cornwall Parade, they throw candy in the street and the kids like go after it. I know, it's crazy, Natalie. I don't get it. But we're going to be there. We're going to give them information about our church and how what a wonderful place it is. So thank you for your mission and outreach. Also, we say that we're going to leave here. And you, when we leave this place, you are witnesses. You know, in a court of law, if they call you as a witness, you have to tell the truth, the whole, and nothing. And Jesus demands the same thing from you. How has Christ changed your life? Tell people about that. Share the message of Christ in the world that needs it so desperately. You are sent out as disciples of Christ to do that. Now, this is what we say we believe in this church. We say our mission statement every week. And I ask you all to repeat it with me. And I hope you repeat it in your life, not just in your words. So let's say it together. The mission of Helotes Hills United Methodist Church is to grow and nurture disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of our community and of the world. See, Mission and Outreach is doing that through this parade. How are you going to do it today? Thank you to Tony and Samuel, who at the last minute decided to be witnesses for Jesus Christ. You never know when God is going to call on you, right? Like last minute. And Patsy, thank you for your leadership and worship along with the choir today. What a beautiful song. You send us forth into the world renewed in God's Spirit. And I pray this blessing upon you. May God the Spirit, Holy Spirit through Jesus Christ, pour out into your lives, fill you so abundantly that the joy will be contagious to others as we go forth and live our life. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's go in peace.